At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What is going on, one and all? Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, depending upon where you are finding us this fine Monday. My name is Andrew Jupin. This is On Screen Live, and we're going to get right into it. We got trailers to react to, some dreadful trailers, by the way. We got box office numbers. We're telling you what we're putting in front of our eyeballs and much more. Let's bring in a couple of my best goddamn friends. We're all wearing dark colored t-shirts today. Perfect for a Monday. First up, you know him, you love him, Mr. Steven Sadek.
Hello. How's it going, everyone?
Oh, man. Smooth as can be.
Dude. Absolutely. There we go. Get these buttons going here.
Now, Steve, I'm very jealous. Mm. I may be wearing a hat, but tomorrow you are fucking going to the Knick game, my friend.
I am indeed. Not floor seats. I will not be at the Nicholson spot.
That's
sadly.
Dude, I texted you guys, folks at home. I got on the group chat. I had the Laker game on. I was like, we don't know the next time you're going to get to see this guy in the wild, but Nicholson is on the floor at the fucking Knick game.
Which is nice that it's not just him trying to buy fucking cigarettes or whatever it was. Like, he just, like, threw up and had to get some air and some paparazzo got him. Like, that other horrible picture that was going around. I'm glad that he was able to get that going.
Yeah, totally. Someone else who doesn't appreciate a floor seat, but he does enjoy a good book, Mr. Chris Cabin.
And if the dirty son of a bitch who directed Sophie's Choice wants to get into a fight about it, I'll knock his goddamn teeth down his throat.
Wow.
He'll drink his own blood. He'll wish he was never born.
Wow.
And I will find his grave and piss on it every day till the day I leave this earth. But it is a good performance by Meryl Streep and by a Polish woman who is the bitch. Goddamn, Roger. We're doing the show?
Yeah, we're doing the show.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The sea was angry that day in the Roger Ebert household.
He was not having it.
No, you go first.
No, I was going to do the same thing you were going to do, so do it.
We should say, Eric is not here. Mm-hmm. And usually we make up a mean joke about that, but not today.
Right. No, no.
Today is Eric's birthday, and we celebrate Eric Siska. Ooh,
that's right. That's right. And We Hate Movies paid time off.
Yes. I offered to automate myself for this episode just as an homage to.
Oh, yes, totally.
Just so that he felt something. But you know what? I'm happy he has a day off. He's getting himself a good meal.
Hell yeah. You eat up, you drink up, you smoke up, motherfucker. This day's for you. Mm-hmm. So here at the home office, we got a lot to get to today. So let's get into the box office. This is Highest Gross. Now, interestingly, for this week, like, he's off for his birthday, and that's great.
Yeah.
What a bummer for Eric not to be here to talk about the fact that number five at the weekend box office, the 40th anniversary re-release of Return of the Jedi, man.
I love this poster. About that.
It's a fucking badass poster. You are absolutely right.
It's pretty cool. I mean, they could have, I mean, that's the thing. If they ever, I mean, I know this is like banging an old drum. If they ever put the original cuts out in theaters again, they would sweep a box office. Like, it doesn't matter what. You could put it up against whatever, the Avengers dick smack, and that, and it would do fine. It would be, fucking blow it out of the water.
It's just shocking. That's why I didn't go, right? It was like, I was considering it because it's one of my favorite movies. It's, you know, the year I was born, the whole thing. Like, I have a real affection for the movie. But, and the poster was really cool. I was like, maybe. But I know I got to sit through the bullshit. I just know I've got to have to sit through the bullshit.
Including, like, the revamped singer in the cantina, which I can't. Mm-mm. I can't abide by that. Mm-mm. But this is wild, man. On just about 140, or what do we hear? Sorry. About 475 screens, this grossed $4.7 million. That is not too shabby. Just further lining the fucking pockets of Disney.
Mm-hmm. They need it.
They gotta make, look, they gotta make more Peter Pan movies. We've got 17 more on the docket coming up, so don't worry. We're getting
Chris Gabin, here's a question for you, and this is for the group too.
Yeah. Sure.
We all hate Ron DeSantis, as you have to.
He sucks.
I've never
seen an unsexier person dressed up like a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader in my life.
Nope.
And when that motherfucker was rooting around the floodwaters in them their boots, man. Nope. What a piece of shit.
No public figure in the history of television has more not known what to do with his hands than Ron DeSantis.
Oh,
they are just ambient flowing next to him at all. Like, he's a video game character.
But what if, you know what I mean? Like, what if he stopped his literal genocide of trans people and was like, instead, what I hate the Disney Corporation most for is not letting go of the original series of Star Wars.
Now, here's the thing.
The woke Disney Corporation took it away from us. I want it back.
Well, hey, you are talking about A+. There have been many of these. Ken Watanabe let them fight situation. Like, Ron DeSantis and Disney want to go at it. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. Whoever wins, I win. I mean, either way, it's going to be bad. And, like, yes, I prefer Disney win than DeSantis to win.
Sure.
But I hate them both, so fucking go for it.
Well, listen, folks, dude, they are going to trounce this motherfucker, and everybody seems to know it but him, so that's really funny. Now, here's the thing, Steve. Like, it's an interesting way for him to reach across the aisle to make that demand, but here's the thing. Here's what you know he actually feels.
I don't get what the big deal's all about because the re-releases are better anyway.
Yeah. You know that asshole loves the special edition.
Better special effects, more fun for me.
Nothing is quite as good as Attack of the Clones. What we need is an updated 5-hour version, the full cut of Attack of the Clones.
Everybody knows it's the best Star Wars already. Besides, when she's dancing in the cantina, that one's way sexier.
And just a little programming note going forward. Ever since I've heard that guy's voice, I am going to drive the car out of the way to be able to make fun of it. I'm just going to be like, oh, we're going this way? Nah, just see what's going on.
I mean, speaking of his hands, dude, you got to get a fucking voice box scraping or something. You just sound like a real fucking wiener, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what a lot of pudding does to your throat.
You coat it.
And more pudding, it does that. It squeezes it and dries it up. You wouldn't think so because it's such a wet substance, but it's actually a noted scientific fact.
Now I'm just picturing him being like, more and more pudding!
That
more!
Is him. That is him every night before he goes to bed to his wife.
Someone who doesn't have pudding before they go to bed every night is Keanu Reeves. John Wick 4.
You don't know that.
Well, yeah, I guess I don't. But I mean, just looking at him, probably not.
Probably not.
He is someone who would look sexy dressed up like a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
I bet you once in a while he does a banana pudding with Nilla wafers. I bet you.
That's a nice little treat
I bet you he could get into that.
But yeah, John Wick 4, another $5 million, man, at the box office here. Not too shabby.
Keep going, Johnny.
Rolling along. So a new title for this week at number 3. We'll talk about it a little later. But Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Mm. The adaptation of the very popular Judy Blume book, which debuted from Lionsgate with $6.8 million. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. I could have seen myself and my wife going out to see this yesterday, but we were besieged by torrential rain. You're not leaving the house.
It was brutal. This weekend in New York and the surrounding, metropolitan area was fucking horrible. And I got to tell you, man, I can take there's a little bit of misting or something a little drizzle and get to the subway. But this hard rain, dude, I'm like a big fat brick of salt. Absolutely not leaving my house. No, sir.
Yeah. But yeah, it looked good. I know Chris saw it, so I'm excited to hear what he says.
It's good stuff.
Not good stuff. Evil Dead Rise was in second place. Not the fact that it's in second still at the box office. I think that is great. I just mean I did not care for the movie. I'm very glad that it is making bank at the box office, including this weekend, week 2. With another $12.2 million under its belt.
I'm interested. I still want to see it at some point. I know, Andrew, you despised it, and Chris, you were sort of in the middle.
I think there's stuff to like in the back end, but and the very, very open. I think one thing everybody's been pretty agreed upon, I don't know where you land on this, Andrew, but the opening is very good, I think.
The opening is very good. The opening feels like an Evil Dead movie. I mean, my biggest thing, I don't know that I'd say I despised it, Steve, but I will say this. It is that, and we've ranted about this with other franchises like Hellraiser, it to me felt, and I don't think it's true, but it feels to me like a script where someone wrote a possession movie and then someone else was like, why don't you make it an Evil Dead movie? Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, he's right. And then they made it Evil Dead, and I'm like, I don't know, man, if this was just possession in a fucking grody ass apartment building where I didn't have to think about comparisons to other films.
Yes.
Maybe it would have played better for me.
See, that's you go.
I mean, the problem for me was always that you always hem yourself in when you do one location, especially when you don't you're not really interested in the surrounding parts of the place. It's all in that fucking apartment and there's some good, very wet stuff that happens in that.
Splash.
In that apartment. I felt no sense of place. Like, what's cool about Evil Dead? It's in the middle of the fucking woods. And that's a good sense of place that they play with constantly. You can do that with an apartment complex, but you have to put attention towards it. And all they do is the kind of cool elevator thing, which is fine.
Yep. And I will say, her name is escaping me, but the woman who plays the mother who gets very possessed good. Is fantastic in the movie, including all of the crazy body contortion shit. Mm. That was really great. It's interesting. I watched it on it was a double header that right after Bo is Afraid. And then oddly, both movies feature characters menacingly hiding above a bathtub and holding themselves up. Yeah. I thought that was very weird.
Alyssa Sutherland. That's
yes.
her name.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Very good night. Yeah.
And then, no surprise here, gang, Super Mario, still just fucking and sucking until the sun comes up at the box office.
Turned
another $40 million in the fourth weekend of this movie. It is unstoppable.
Never going to stop. This is I think what we'll see, because that's the thing, is it only works if whatever's next also works.
Yes.
And if that, then we're just going to be getting a lot of Mario movies, which I'm going to get tired of very quickly. I was particularly big on this one, but I read some, I forget if it was Variety or Hollywood Reporter who just wrote this, like a tribute to Jack Black saying Bowser was like his comeback. And I'm like, it just made money.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all that happened.
Jack Black's comeback. He's been one of the most consistent entertainers for the last 30 years. What are you talking about?
It's literally just because he made the money. Like,
That's all you care about.
You're not talking about, like, as an artist, like, he's been doing plenty of interesting stuff. Yeah. I would say his voiceover work in Apollo 10 and a half is so much better than what he does in. He's supposed to be Bowser, and he's just Jack Black. Like, it's just, it's so fucking annoying.
Well, I was kind of hoping, I know that they do a little, there's a little, it looks at least, because I still haven't seen it, and I probably won't until, I don't know, we're taking some flights in a couple weeks, so maybe that'll happen.
Dude, primo plane movie, I will say, primo plane
we'll
movie.
We'll see if that's going to happen. But I know that it seems, at least from the trailer, which shows everything, there's a Mario Kart digression.
Yeah.
I would like, you know, and that was a dumb idea, because this movie is humongous. Now you get a full Mario Kart movie, and it's like, you know, kind of
Ford versus Ferrari.
Days of Thunder, you know what I mean? And like, and just maybe we're following, I don't know, Toad or Waluigi, and like he just coming into the circuit, and everyone's giving him shit, and like we're just watching them go around the world doing this stuff. I would watch that movie.
Dry Bones is your Tom Cruise.
That sounds about right. That's even better. Dry Bones. Yeah.
Dry Bones gets Tom Cruise's place. I don't know who's Robert Duvall. That sounds like a Waluigi. If I was gonna, I mean, but they're clearly going to be in the next Super Mario. So
one of the wizard guys, he could.
That's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. You got Magic Koopa, like, I did really well. I was doing the best race of my life, man. That goddamn blue shell got me.
Yep.
That goddamn blue shell got me.
Your finances are like a rocket, and you don't want it to explode on liftoff. That's why you need Rocket Money. The average person has around 12 paid subscriptions. Think about that for a second. Makes you think you want to double check your own, right? Well, Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Are you like me, lying awake at night wondering, do I have Peacock? Is it terminal? Well, good thing for me and good thing for you, Rocket Money will quickly identify and cancel subscriptions you don't want so you can stop paying for the ones you forgot about. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions easy as a click of a button. Simply find the subscriptions you don't want anymore and press cancel. Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service, tedious emails back and forth, going through that website. That's a nightmare. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing your money away and take the rocket. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/WHM. That is rocketmoney.com/WHM. Rocketmoney.com/WHM. That stands for We Hate Movies. And now back to the show.
That you can't let all those flash bulbs going off in your face make you just collapse into a pile of bones. You got to stay upright. You got to keep your bones together. You understand me?
I would watch it. And you know what? Like, don't even make it connected to the last story. Literally just make it about, like, we're in the Mario world, but they're all obsessed with racing. And
exactly.
That's the movie.
That's fine. I live my life one Rainbow Road brick at a time.
Absolutely. Of course he'd be there.
Mm-hmm. He'd be there doing something. I will say, Steve, the Mario Kart sequence in the movie, it kind of plays like fucking Fury Road, and it's awesome.
Okay.
Like, they do a really good job in it. So you'll be like pumping your fist on the plane quietly.
All right, there we go.
Just some stuff floating around the art market here. Nita Manzur's Polite Society came out from Focus Features this weekend, and didn't have a great showing, about 800K, which is nice, but the problem is that's over 927 screens. Yeah. So
I heard good things, but I'm not. I
did too. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to see it. It was at, I want to say, Sundance this year.
Sounds right.
I didn't get a chance to see it. Heard a lot of fun things. The trailer, you know, they cut an okay trailer. I won't say it was a great trailer.
Yeah, the trailer actually turned me off a little bit, to be quite honest.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
I got to say, what I was a little turned off by is you already see this. They're cutting things like the Everything Everywhere All at Once trailer. And that was the number one I saw it, where I was like, wait, this looks exactly like, and like,
that's a good call.
From what I understand of the movie, it is not like that movie at all.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. But, I want to give it a shot when it's like around and stuff, but like,
precisely. Honestly, I would have seen it this weekend, but again, fat guy made of salt, not going out in the rainstorm. Okay. So here's another one. This was a big deal. Felix Van Grogan and Charlotte Vandersmeerch's The Eight Mountains. This was a new movie that came out, very super limited release here in New York, by our good friends at Sideshow and Janus Films. And this, so remember those numbers I gave you for Polite Society? This was $36,000 on two screens.
Okay.
So this did buku bucks. Very, very cool. Supposed to be, again, really great. It's playing at Lincoln Center. I want to go see it.
It's very pretty from what I've seen.
Totally. So now keep the detail about on two screens, $36,000. Now we're going to bring in a new film from Romania, where massive film community. I love the shit that comes out of Romania. The new one from Christian Mingu, RMN, which Chris, did you see it in New York?
Oh yeah, I was there. I mean, the thing is like, Romanian films, like not all of them. I don't want to paint it all with the same brush.
Yeah.
But they are usually miserable. Now, are they
very dour experiences?
Some of them are more artistically rich while also being miserable.
Yeah.
But this is like probably my least favorite Manju. And I'm like, even on a good day with him, like you have to force people to go see these movies. Like this
absolutely.
Is 4 months, 3 weeks and 2 days, man.
It's the same guy. Yeah. So, it is a hearty recommend for me. It's from IFC Films. $5,800 on two screens. Yeah. So a tale of two movies, folks, for sure. And honestly, a tale of two marketing campaigns. So that's what's going around the box office. A lot to see, a lot we have seen, and a lot yet to see. Now, Steve Sadek, before we continue on the show, you mentioned it earlier. We're going to be taking some planes soon. And why is that?
Well, we're going on motherfucking tour, baby.
Three weeks.
2 weeks from today or tomorrow, I'm getting on a plane to go to San Francisco.
That's
I will
right.
not give my exact flight details. No, I did that once. Never doing it again.
Yeah, you did that once the hard way.
That's right. On May 18th. We are going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club talking about Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Super exciting. Look at Sweaty Kirk and Sweaty Spock right there.
I love it. Just all melting together.
This is the whale one, correct?
This is the whale
Indeed.
One.
Indeed. Okay, we are traveling back to the 1980s to get some whales. And that's it's kind of funny because the second season of Picard did the exact same thing.
Mm.
There's whales?
No, it's for budgetary and for Picard. It was like COVID shit. We're just going back in time so we don't have to build future sets. I mean, that's what that's what Voyage Home is. I mean, we're going to San Francisco in the 80s, so we don't have to be bleep blorping the whole time. But I fucking love it, man. It's Leonard Nimoy's like, he's ringing the bell about global warming. That's the deal. Environmentalism.
Give me a can of tab. I must drink this beverage.
Oh, yes. We're making similar jokes to the film Back to the Future 2. but then, Steve, after we trek away from San Francisco, what's happening?
I guess, oh God, I always get the date wrong. Is it the
522,
yes. On Monday, May 22nd, we will be at the Hollywood Improv. Low ticket warning for our twins show. This is really probably your last week you're going to be able to get tickets for this. And I really hope that you get tickets for both.
Yep.
But really, if you're in LA and you're like, meh, I don't know, I might be, tired. Yeah. Figure out another day to be tired.
That's right.
Don't wait for day of on this one.
No, do not.
I don't think it's going to work out for you on that one.
No, absolutely not. And we're unsure because we haven't checked it out to see if it would be possible. But if the show does sell out, we have a cool idea waiting in the wings.
Yes.
That we're not going to mention because if it doesn't happen, then that's going to be embarrassing. Wouldn't that be embarrassing, folks?
Yeah.
I'll put ourselves out there like that. No, sir.
Yeah, exactly. No, I can't take that kind of heartbreak, but so we'll see. But yes, super low ticket alert for Los Angeles. That is for sure. So we went over a bunch of stuff that has already come out and had its first showing or so at the box office. Now let's check out some stuff that hopes it has a showing at the box office in a segment we've cleverly titled Trailer Segment. All right, now we got two here ready to roll. And folks at home, as I've started doing now, in the show info here, in the video info on YouTube, I have linked to the two trailers we're going to be watching. So the first one out the gate, oh, it's this Hunger Games prequel thing, isn't it?
Oh, great. Yay.
Everybody Yay! Wanted. Is this based on a book or no?
I think she did write a book.
I'm sure she did. Yes.
Probably.
Because that's why you write the book so they make the movie and then you make the money.
I got to say, like, we'll see how this movie does. But I got to say, I'm already really like sad. Like, Rachel Zegler was so good in West Side Story. Mm-hmm. And what she has had to like her the pitches as her for a star since have been so like horrible.
It's, you got to be part of 3 to 4 franchises, yeah. Dude. She's in that awful Shazam movie. And awful. Now she's in this.
Now in this,
it's crazy. So yeah, let's take a look here. Chris, just as a warning, we do have a trailer before the trailer.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
So I want to get your heart ready.
Oh, great, great, fantastic.
All right, gang, but here we go. We're gonna check this out in 3, 2, 1, go.
Hey, look at that bird there.
Hey, it's a bird snake. Flying around. Oh, and a snake's gonna get him.
Well, the trailer premiere.
Ooh, oh, great. Don't I'm I feel so, so honored to be at the trailer premiere?
Mysterious piano music.
See, now here's how you fucking trick me. You put Viola in this movie.
Yeah.
And then you got the big man happening. Yeah.
He's pounding something. I don't know what that is.
I drink and know stuff.
I just want, I wonder where he's done that before.
Wasn't there that HBO like Final Solution movie where it's about the guys in the room doing the Final Solution? It's horrible, and that's the whole point. It's that, but it's the Hunger Games. It's like, I don't know, kids fighting each other to the death. How does that sound to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we're told here that Dinklage is the dude who came up with this idea. Good. I'd hate to see the ones that were like, nah, that's fucked up. That's never going
to
work.
And also, it's like, he's totally jerking off to it, right? Oh, yeah, he's definitely jerking off to it.
Yep, yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, he always asks for the tapes in advance. Yeah, I wonder why. Oh, yeah, we all know. I will say this right here.
Conspiracy?
Schwartzman playing...
As a young Tucci?
No, it's like an ancestor, because this is like ages.
Oh,
like
I see.
I don't know, maybe like a... Well, no, because this other guy is Sutherland's character. So I don't know, a couple decades or something. But he's a relative. It's not Tucci's character. But the casting right there is, I will say, pretty well done.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, we're watching like the 10th anniversary of the Hunger Games. So it's not even like the movie the creation of it. Yeah.
That Eminem?
No.
He went back in time.
It kind of looked like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
No, thank you.
I watched the first one, and I was okay with it, but this world has never done it for me.
Nah. No. We didn't finish watching those movies.
No, I didn't either.
I think I have seen them all.
Because the fourth one, which was like the third book split into two movies...
Yeah.
Like, those were coming out when Hoffman died.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, we had to do some computer Philip Seymour Hoffman. And I was like, I'll never watch that movie.
Yeah.
This guy really does look like Eminem. This is...
Oh, dude, Mom's Spaghetti, dude. Here it comes. Look out for that Mom's Spaghetti.
You're going to wish you could make Mom's Spaghetti, dude, when you're living in the Hunger Games world. Oh, dude, an audio from Sutherland? Get the fuck out of here.
Well, because that was the character we all remember and love from those movies, is Donald
Coriolanus
Sutherland.
Coriolanus Snow was his name, I believe.
Whoever gives a shittus. I mean, yeah, I just like, why would you center something like that? I mean, I guess it's definitely going to be about like Zegler and this kid, but like that you want to know the beginning of fucking Sutherland.
Now it begins, baby.
Any of these ways we can get like just fucking, you know, change these stories or make them feel more important than they are.
You know, it's actually, I'll give it, because at least like it wasn't like the noted snake J.K. Rowling being like, you know what I'm going to do? It's going to be a field guide. It's going to be a brand new adventure with brand new characters. We're never going back to Hogwarts, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go back to Hogwarts. Okay, it's about Dumbledore, exactly. Okay, you know what? Maybe Harry gets conceived in the next one. How does that sound?
That's
conception.
That's exactly why. I mean, I haven't read whatever the book this is based on is. No. So I don't know if this is just in there anyway, but yeah. I would tell you probably the reason that they have it like the villain is becoming the major thing is because that's what fucking Fantastic Beasts end up doing.
Yeah, that's true.
In the fucking Voldemort
and Dumbledore.
Yeah, as the main thing.
Yeah, sure. But this also looks like a way to like reverse engineer more humanity for that Sutherland character, because that's what we're obsessed with, and that is what you are going to hear my long-winded rant about when we talk about that fucking Peter Pan movie. This obsession with like villains can't be villainous and just nasty and evil. They got to be sympathetic because they got problems too.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Mm-hmm. And that's what this feels like. Oh, he's going to fall in love with this girl that has to participate. And oh, he's just a person. No, he's supposed to be a fucking heartless villain. And I don't give a shit how he got there.
Listen, Hitler put his pants on one leg at a time like everybody else. And he had issues. You know what I mean?
Precisely. Now, this next one is a real 180 in terms of what kind of movie we're talking about. This is Jon Hamm and Tina Fey starring John Slattery's Maggie Moores. It's a new dark comedy from Screen. What the fuck are they? Screen Media Films. Uh-huh. These are the same fuckers that own that are owned by the Chicken Soup for the Soul company. Just like Secret Movies Poker Face.
Oh, yeah.
Same company.
You know, Jon Hamm, Tina Fey. I mean, this sounds like box office poison to me. Uh-huh.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if Fey wasn't involved, because I'm still kind of, you know, a little worn out on her. But Jon Hamm, man, that fucking Fletch movie.
No, I know. I like Jon Hamm. None of his movies make money. It's not.
No, that's true. But that Fletch one would have, I bet, if it had more. Anyway. So, all right, let's get into it here. We got this trailer set up. 3, 2, 1, go. Nice just green band. No, here comes the Maggie Moores trailer.
Oh, no. A yellow jumpsuit.
Nick Mohammed from Ted Lasso here. I love this dude. Mm. But, like, listen, this, no offense to the fine people at Screen Media, but it's... You see the people in this movie and who made it and whatever. And my first question is always, why do you have it?
Yeah. Yes.
Why doesn't a larger company with a larger footprint or reach have it? So that could be a warning sign.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is this guy anybody?
I don't know. I can see.
I can barely see shit. Yes. So.
Yeah, I like this kind of like
small time crime kind of a deal.
Yep, and it's just goofy enough. The problem is, Steve, and you know, I think you guys will feel this also. You don't want this to try to be like, isn't it kind of like the Coen Brothers?
Yeah, it does. What I like, it doesn't seem like it's trying to do that.
No, yeah. I think it's more of, you're going to start seeing this more, I think, Mayor of Laugh Town type things like that, where it is a small town investigation, but with some more laughs thrown in.
Yes.
Yes.
Because nobody liked how dour East Town was.
Yes.
Oh,
I love
crank
it.
Whatever.
I like that show.
It's one of these things where it's like Tina Fey appears to be playing like a true crime enthusiast. Yeah. And I'm like, where's the joke about her fucking podcast?
Well, it's coming.
That's what kind of, I think, sours me a little bit on the co-casting. She plays a really obnoxious character on that Only Murders in the Building, and it drives me fucking nuts. It's like, it's like a Sarah Koenig knockoff kind of character.
Oh, not too bad.
No, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. you know, we'll see. I will check it out. Here's the thing. June 16th, day and date, folks. That means you'll be able to see wherever it is, you know, very quietly dropped theatrically, and you'll be able to rent it on PVOD the same time. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But I'll tell you this. We ragged on them, I think, maybe both equally. I'll see that Maggie Moore's more eagerly than that fucking Hunger Games.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
It's a real movie where it's adults about people. Talk to one another.
Yeah, yeah. That's
sort of absolutely. Cool. So, Chris Cabin, get us started here on the on-screen portion of the program. Are you there? God, it's me, Margaret. You check this out this weekend?
Oh, yeah. From KFC, Kelly Freeman Craig, who I'm a big fan. I mean, she, if you know her, you know her from The Edge of 17. She directed that.
Sure.
With, Haley Steinfeld and Haley Lou Richardson, which is a really good movie. Woody Harrelson has a really good supporting role in it. This is, it's interesting. I kind of was hoping she would like do, like, as much as I like the tone of The Edge of 17, I kind of wanted her to do like an adult movie. And she did stay in the teen mold. And I think she did a really good job. Like, this is about as good as Edge of 17 to me. And it's from a book like I didn't read. My mom liked it a lot. And I certainly knew of its existence. But
yeah, everybody's heard
of
it.
Yeah, I mean,
massive book.
I mean, I'm sure like The Simpsons did 17 jokes about it. I can't say for sure. I think it's really well directed. Rachel McAdams, if you are a fan of Rachel McAdams, you have to see it. She's as good as she's ever been in it.
Wow, that's exciting.
Benny Safdie, who I am starting to really warm to as a screen presence after like the harshness of something like Good Time, like him being, I know me and Andrew differ on Stars at Noon, but I think he's really funny. And
I actually liked him in that movie. Yeah, he was one of the only parts of that movie I enjoyed.
I think he's been really branching out and finding good places. Even in the Star Wars show, I thought he was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Kathy Bates has a really good role as her grandmother. The girl herself was the original. I think she's the original Cassie Lang from the Ant-Man.
Oh,
remember how they recast?
Yes, they did.
Because I think she's the original casting.
Okay.
And she's very good. Let me get her name because I don't want to be.
Which is kind of amazing that the girl still acts and apparently still a very good actor. You know, because that does happen. You're a child actress to teen actor or to adult actor. There's sometimes the drop off. You're like, we're going to recast.
Yeah,
we'll
totally.
Get the girl from Freaky. But no, it's just like, no, we'll just.
It's always weird, though. Abby Ryder Fortson, she's very good in the movie. And she has a lot of really great scenes with Rachel McAdams. The other famous version of that is who was it? It was the with the Independence Day, and they got Monroe.
Yes.
I'm forgetting her name. But no, she's great.
What's her face?
Parenthood. She's from
Arrested Development.
Yes.
It's killing me now.
I'm gonna lose my mind. Scott Pilgrim, right? She's also
We all know who we're talking about. We just can't get the name.
But that's the last time I remember something like this happening and being like,
sure.
Oh, all this for Independence Day resurgence. Like, why?
Her name is...
It's killing me. I was just literally talking about her the other day.
Mae Whitman.
Whitman. Yes.
Yes. It was great. And I mean, it was obviously a thing where, A, she's older than Michael Monroe because that's just how life worked. That's how much time passed between the two movies, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
But you have to be hot for Bill Pullman's daughter, I guess.
Oh, definitely.
I highly, if you haven't seen it, I think it's worth going out to see. It's just a really good comedic drama. There's a lot of stuff there that is very intimate, and I thought it was handled very well.
Is it a period piece or is it now?
Period piece.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So here's something that's also a period piece. Like I mentioned a couple times, I wasn't leaving the house, but thankfully Friday was the premiere of David Lowery's Peter Pan and Wendy on Disney Plus here. And I got to tell you, here's the thing. I am sick and fucking tired of these screenplays where like we're fucking shaking up the bones of some well-established thing, right? And the way we're going to make it like new and interesting and fresh is like well, what if two of these characters who have been like two totally, you know, certain things and have certain like rules and stories set up about them? What if we change that so that they grew up together and they were friends and they knew each other before all this? And like, I don't want to give anything away. And maybe I am, like, just by sort of hinting at this, but it is the dumbest fucking decision for this movie. We were like three quarters of the way through it, and they really start hammering it home. Cause like they drop little breadcrumbs throughout. Mm. And then they really start hammering it home towards the end. And I don't know if we like pause for a bathroom break or like maybe the movie was just playing. Chelsea was just like, this is so fucking stupid. I was like, you're totally right. So that like there's a storytelling change here. Cause for the most part, it's just, it is the story of Peter Pan that you know from, you know, everything, the animated version or whatever the fuck. It is that story. The fact that it was called Peter Pan and Wendy, I thought it was going to be like something like a new adventure in Neverland. Nah, it's just a live action remake of the Disney animated thing. You change the title. It also looks terrible.
I mean, the poster looks bad, honestly.
This is just like how this is, because I saw it this morning, and like, other than turning red, there has not been a single a Disney Plus original streaming movie that has looked good or that I have been even marginally excited about. Like, I thought
at
this
least
was
with Turning Red, you know, and some of these other ones, they're animated. Yeah. This live action, dude, it is so low lit. And then the color grading is so fucking like just bland and like gray, blue, green, flat. So like I'm watching the opening and I'm like, okay, maybe this is just for like foggy old London town. Mm. And when we get to Never Never Land, boom, I'm going to be smacked in the face with a functioning color palette.
No.
And we get there and it is just muted fucking peaches and pinks. And
why would you want color in a Peter Pan movie? I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
I was flummoxed, man. It still boggles my noodle. I can't believe it.
You give that up. But hey, the good thing is that you now can watch it on your phone. You do. Sure, that is the trade-off you've made. And I hope everybody's very happy with it, because it does. It looks like shit. Like, I feel bad because David Lowery is an incredibly visual director. And like everything about this screams like, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. Like, there's this great shot of Hook coming around inside the cave, and the gator comes and eats a ship. And like, it should be an incredible scene, but since it's all like brown, I'm just like, nothing's pulling my eye. Nothing is making me look deep in it. I'm just noticing that the shot's well choreographed because it's David Lowery. He's going to do that.
There's a moment where like, you know, it's kind of like the big reveal of the pirate ship when they all get on board and they do this like big, like whoosh kind of shot. So you can see everything. It's the grayest pirate ship I have ever seen.
Again, it's Peter fucking Pan. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, this is not like fucking Batman, or I don't even know, like, fuck, you know, like the Dr. Mabuse movie that we're going to make. You know what I mean? Like, it's Peter fucking Pan. It is for children. It should be colorful. It should be well lit.
I will say, for however bad this is, and it is really bad, it's still nothing. I don't know if they're ever going to get close to how bad the Lion King remake was.
That's the only one we turned off and never finished.
Nothing has looked worse. I don't think I have seen anything that looks worse than that movie.
I, for the most part, or even almost perfect, because Alice in Wonderland doesn't count because that's a real reimagining of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, it's not a live action remake.
I think we saw the Cinderella movie, and I think that was it. I think that was the beginning and the end of me watching these
Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella.
I think that was it. And I think because it's such a stupid idea. It's such a monstrously stupid. I mean, obviously, Peter Pan, you're going to make a million Peter Pans anyway. But like any of these live action remakes, and I'm looking at you, fucking Little Mermaid, it's just... Yeah, it just cuts the throat of what made the original exciting, which is animation. Yes. Animation in and of itself is an exciting genre. And it's, again, colorful. It's you could do things that you can't do in whatever in live action. And that's, and it's 86 minutes long, and it's a fun little kids movie. Bing, bang, boom.
And I mean, that's the other thing, dude. Like, on the one hand, I do appreciate in this movie that there's a lot of like...
we're going to kill Peter Pan. And, you know, Wendy's bound for execution and she's going to walk the plank. And like, we're doing stuff like that, like, which is fine. Cause that kind of ups the excitement a little bit.
Sure.
In a mostly totally unfun and super self-serious movie. But it just, it all the rest of the fun is just not there because it's so serious and like grounded. Yeah. I don't need you to ground a movie where children literally fly through the air with pixie dust on
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's insane. And for whatever it's worth, I think most of the performances are pretty good in the movie. Jude Law, like as Captain Hook, I thought was pretty good. It's not as like crazy as it needs to be or as fun, you know? Like he is doing kind of like a grim dark thing, but it works okay because he's good. What is her name? Ava Anderson, who is the progeny of Mila Jovovich and Paul W.S. Anderson.
Wow.
Yeah, she plays Wendy, and I got to say, pretty good. And dude, surprise of the movie, and I kind of think the best part of it, playing Smee is Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
And he's actually playing a character and not like, hey, it's Jim Gaffigan dressed as a pirate eating a hot pocket. Like, he's actually like playing a character.
I mean, I don't think you can blame that movie on anybody but Disney. Like, Lowry definitely was taking a check, and like the kids are doing their best with a script that is like mostly affirmations that you would get off like a Peel calendar. But like, I do want to say David Lowry made a short with the Green Knight called Oakthorn and the Old Rose Love with Jackie Earle Haley.
Ooh.
And she plays the assistant to Jared Leto in Blade Runner 2049. I'm forgetting her name now.
Oh, yeah, okay. I feel like Dave McFly at the end of Back to the Future. When the hell did this happen?
Sylvia Hoex.
When did they make this?
This came out. This was on, I got the special. There's a special edition of The Green Knight that comes with this short on it.
Oh, son of a bitch. Do I have this?
It's 20 minutes long. It's really, really fucking good.
Oh, that's cool.
And if you want to see him just directing the shit out of a 20-minute piece, it's unbelievable how rich and detailed that 20 minutes is.
Yeah, I mean, I think David Lowry is a really great director. And
incredible director.
I'll give...
Shocked how much I didn't like this.
Yeah, I was pretty let down. Something we have not been let down by, and we're going to talk about it a little bit here because we're at like sort of the halfway mark of the season, is Succession Season 4, the final season here. Steve, you want to take the ball with this? Just because I will say I have not, and Chris has not seen last night's episode. Here in this house, we're still trying to catch up and finish Perry Mason, which has been excellent.
But yeah, finished that last night. It's really good.
I'm doing Succession first, and we're going to move on to Perry Mason. Just to give you guys a 5-second warning, I am going to spoil the second episode of Succession, which probably has been spoiled for everybody at this point. But just
I don't know how you escaped it.
Yes. Now we're going to talk about it. This season's been fantastic. I think it's really, I'm so proud of this show for ending. Honestly, like I get teared up because I'm like, oh, they figured it out. They know that this show, and especially like the last two episodes, including last night's, shows you a version of this show that kind of could go on for another couple of years because they do kill off Logan Roy in the second episode, and it's one of the best episodes of television that I've seen in a really long time.
Yes.
The way that they handle the surprise and handle like living in the world and like your parents being on the other side of it and like having to hear that horrible news and not being able to do that stuff while being funny at the same time, which is what the show's always good at. But like,
what a tightrope walk though to fucking pull that off.
It is. And everyone's doing fantastic. But these last two versions of like, what's it going to be like when Logan isn't there and the Roys have to fend for themselves and like all these kids are like fighting and betraying each other to get to be top dog. That could be two more seasons, but very smartly, they're like, it's just going to be a couple episodes. Like, I'm glad that they killed him off early so we can see that because that's kind of always been the promise of the show.
And honestly, this season could have started like the first episode really could have like with the episode description, like,
yes,
as you know, Logan drops dead because not to say that it doesn't matter, but because it comes at the start of the episode, like, you're just in it. There's no like twist or surprise. It's like, oh fuck, this is what it's
Yes. This is what it's about this week. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I've liked this season. I like Steve. I'm very happy to hear that it's going away, because I was towards the end of the last season, I was kind of like, I'm kind of getting tired of this. This is getting a little repetitive.
All the sniping and
like, it just in general, I just kind of was like, I've often said that it's amazing that this and Righteous Gemstones were on at the same time, because I think they're very similar.
Yeah,
and they're but they are very different in how they approach rich people. Like the rich are actually kind of disgusting in the Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah,
they're still kind of sexy in the Succession world. I understand, like, they put in the mental illness and all that stuff. Bad decisions. They put all that stuff, but they are still sexy in this way. And like, I think you can tell that by how people talk about them. I want to fuck Kendall Roy is most of Twitter right now.
Yes.
or I want to fuck Roman Roy or
Shiv. Snook, or holy Christ.
Yeah, I want to fuck Shiv. Yeah. And like, I think that is, that's why I've never been so hot on the show, but this season has been so good. And
not a lot of hashtag good. I want to fuck Conor Roy floating
not,
around.
Not many, just, you know, once
there's
in a while,
some
you'll
zaddies going around there for that guy with the silver beard.
Sure.
One question I really liked Alexander Sarsgaard kind of in this. Like, he's turning out to be a really great actor, actually. Like,
it's a
really different, like, between the Northman, Infinity Pool, and this, it's
totally,
like three different, like, here he's doing obviously like an Elon Musk kind of a riff a little bit, like just like insane tech billionaire who everyone has to call a genius.
Yes, I am going to buy your company, pedophile.
But he's incredibly immature and like,
yes,
obsessed with Twitter and like tweeting all the wrong things, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a really interesting kind of villain for this last season, because he is. And I mean, like, I think in this last episode, not to spoil anything, Jerry really just puts it out like, we are done. Like, made, you know, legacy media is done. It's all tech. It's all tech. Tech is coming to eat our lunch. That's why we have to get this deal done, et cetera, et cetera. And like, that's what the show is about. That's what sort of. But also, like, in this last episode, again, you'll see they're all so bad at it. They're all so bad at what they're supposed to be. Like, even Kendall, like, can talk a good game, but he is so fucking bad at running things. And Roman is Roman. I'm a little rambly here.
No, I think with all of that stuff too, Steve, what you're saying, it's another great check in the plus column for, like, ending it.
Because, yes.
Like, I don't know how much fucking like dick tripping I can watch. Like, that's not interesting. Like, it's not interesting to watch people be bad at a thing.
Yes.
In most cases, especially in like a high drama. I will say, just with the note on Jerry, you know, J. Smith Cameron and Peter Friedman and David Rash, like the old timers, you know, quote unquote, they've been so fucking good this season. And just David Rash, especially.
Yes, he has.
You know, if you're not familiar with David Rash, he has a long history of using a very successful funny bone, and he puts it on display here so magnificently throughout.
Sledgehammer, was it?
Yes.
Sledgehammer.
Yeah, great show.
Sledgehammer. Oh my God, fucking hilarious. But he's been so great. And Peter Friedman, I fucking love. He was on The Path.
Yes.
Which was a Hulu show that I never finished, but was good for most of it.
He did Single White Female. Also, Fisher Stevens killing it this season, too.
Yes.
What with this insider trading scenario.
Oh, yeah. Just sort of my stupid dirter.
Accidental oops-a-doodle. I might have committed a crime. Kendall, can you help me?
Yes.
He is so slimy and so fucking good. It's one of the better ensemble casts. And, like, you can plug and play. Like, what if these two had a scene? Wow, that's exciting. What if these two had a scene? Wow, that's exciting. And I mean, like, again, that all leads to, like, I'm sure HBO would have loved two more seasons of this. Like, they could just go on, you know what I mean? You don't need a crazy story. What if Greg and Tom got delayed at the airport? That's an episode of, like, it is, but should it be? You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. I wonder if part of that is not, at least a little bit, due to the fact that, like, the show creator, the showrunner, Jesse Armstrong, I think the guy's name is, Bella from the UK.
Yes.
Like, those dudes over there know how to fucking end television show. The great Doctor Who. But, for the most part.
Jesse Armstrong, creator of Peep Show, and one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, well, actually,
co-creator of Peep.
That's another show that ran an insanely long time. But for the most part,
it ran seven, but it was six a pop. So you know, like what?
Oh yeah, I guess that's not overkill. You know, but like we get these drammers from them.
Oh yeah,
it's like one or two. If it's Broadchurch and it gets popular here, then we overdo it again and kill it. But that's because of us. That's not because of you. Mm-hmm. Your people know how to fucking end television shows for the most part. I mean, I think European television in general is pretty good at this, you know, and to have like, season six, episode 10 of Succession, like, I feel like you would have lost people
For sure.
by then.
I mean, you could do some, if you wanted to do something like Doctor Who and just have Jim Broadbent play Logan Roy after Brian Cox, you know, bites it like that. I mean, I can see you playing something with that. But yeah, otherwise, I think it's a very smart decision to just get rid of it.
Season five, Viola Davis is Logan Roy. I'd watch it. Yeah, I would watch it.
Dude, and then after Viola's done, she morphs into the next Logan Roy, which is Danny DeVito. Think that would also be awesome. Maybe we got something here, actually. Doctor Succession. But yeah, that's all the news that's fit to print this week, gang. Like I said, we are going to have to catch up on Succession before the internet fucking spoils that for us. We can't even wait 24 hours now, folks.
On that Twitter.
No. But this is just the start of the week here on We Hate Movies. Of course, we got a lot of content floating around now. Steve, we got a special episode of We Hate Movies coming out tomorrow. What are we talking about and with whom?
We are talking about The Edge, one of my favorite 90s dad movies. And I got my buddy Brett McDuff coming on, who's going to be hawking his book, The Shotgun Conservationist, Why Environmentalists Should Love Hunting. I wanted to have Brett on the show forever. This is a perfect... him having a book out and this movie is a kind of perfect. You'll listen to us learn a lot about if you've ever been like, oh man, these guys are fucking up the nature stuff, these guys don't know what animals are. We are corrected in real time quite a few times.
It's great. We took a shellacking from Grant during the recording, and it was awesome. But that's a lot of fun. And then so on Thursday, folks, you got to sign up for that Patreon. You don't want to miss out on the extra content we give you here every month. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies, of course. But Chris Cabin, we have a sort of like brand appropriately timed We Love Movies episode coming out on what?
I don't know.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're on the episode, dude.
I don't remember. It's been a week, Andrew.
Yeah, it's been a week.
It certainly has. But yes, WLM all around Guardians of the Galaxy. Proof in the pudding, gang, that one, we don't hate all MCU movies, and two, I don't remember what the other point was.
It just depends what phase you're watching.
Well, sure. Yeah, that does play a role.
This explains it. I had to have this blanked out because, of course, I still have a long-running contract with the MCU that I give them a positive, more positive press than the DC.
Right.
I've renewed many years now. It's been since like 2010. And you know, sometimes you gotta shove stuff under the carpet, guys.
Mm-hmm. And then Steve, so on Thursday, you and I are gonna record something very special for the Patreon that's going to come out on Friday of this week.
Oh, what's that about? That is going to be the Picard Making It So finale. I'm doing it Amanda Plummer is Picard. She's having fun on that show. That show, I still have two more episodes to watch this week before Thursday, which I will to be able to talk about it. But I've really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, we're the only two that got on it, but it'll be a fun conversation nonetheless.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. No, we wanted to do something because when the second season came out, after, you know, not being totally wowed by the first, it was just a crazy packed production schedule whenever that season two of Picard aired, and there was no time. So I'll give some thoughts on the second season from what I remember. You know, I wasn't going back through it all. But I will say this, just a I considered it like one of the best like pieces of science fiction television we've gotten in a long time. That third season, primo shit. Only available this Friday on patreon.com/wehatemovies. But that is going to do it for this week, gang. We will see you next Monday here on the program, back and better than ever.
We'll be talking about Guardians 3, I'm going to guess.
That's right. Yeah, that is going to be the big one, man. We'll probably, you know, I don't know, maybe I'll try to see that maybe Thursday, late Thursday night or something. Who knows? But anyways, until then, folks, have a great week. I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadek.
Chris Cabin.
Adios. Bye-bye. Happy birthday, Eric.
Happy birthday, Eric. HBD.
Oh, yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.